God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For the past several weeks, it seems every sermon has begun talking about how the readings are difficult. They've been challenging to us, and they were challenging to the folks who first heard or first read them. This week, I was very excited because looking ahead, the readings weren't difficult. They were good news all the way around, I thought. I guess God in his wisdom knew way back when the lectionary was formed that we would need good news this morning because our world is so very difficult. Jeremiah wrote at a time of exile. He wrote knowing it was coming, and he wrote through it. When the people of Israel had been invaded, the Babylonians had come, they had destroyed the temple, so the heart of the worshiping community was gone, had taken the people into exile, so they had lost their home. And yet Jeremiah, writing in that time, in a time of exile, wrote a word of hope, a promise that God would restore, would redeem, would bring back the people of Israel. Brothers and sisters, in our day, I believe we are living in a time of exile. We send bombs through the mail to those who don't agree with us politically. We shoot people at Walmart because their skin color is different. We go into a house of worship and kill and maim because they worship God differently than we. We are in a time of exile as a nation, as a people. And we cry out to God, why and how shall we be delivered? And different people have different solutions, political, socioeconomic, whatever. But the fact is, our world is sick. Sin sick. Jeremiah wrote in praise to God, wrote holding on to a promise that God would return his people from exile. And not only would he bring his people back, but he would bring all the people back. The people who had physical limitations, even those who had small children or were actually in the midst of delivering. He would make the road so straight and so smooth, refreshing them with a water course beside them that they could, in fact, return, answering the cry of every heart to go home. That they would return to God's promise. They would be delivered from their exile in darkness. Jeremiah said, and our psalmist said, yes, they were weeping. Weeping comes. But you know, perhaps those tears are the very seeds that we are sowing so that we can return rejoicing, shouldering the harvest that God gives. We have sowed seeds of tears, have we not? Over and over, we hear of suffering, of hatred, of isolation. Over and over, we seem to sit, if not literally exiled, then certainly in darkness. Our gospel tells us the story of a man named Bartimaeus who is blind. Being blind, all he can do is sit on the side of the road and beg for compassion from passersby. And Jesus and a large crowd, including all his disciples, are passing through. They're getting ready to leave. We need to be mindful that their leaving from Jericho is to go to Jerusalem. They are going to the cross. This, in fact, is the last healing story, the last recounting that we get in the Gospel of Mark, so we need to pay extra attention. We've seen over and over in Mark, we've seen others healed. We've seen others called. This is the final one before the events that lead to the cross and the resurrection. As Jesus is leaving, Bartimaeus sitting on the side of that road, he calls out. He calls out because he knows it is Jesus of Nazareth passing by. He calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David is the term for Messiah. The same as us crying out, "Jesus, Savior of the world, have mercy on me." That's what he was saying, sitting there. And you know, I think that we modern Christians, we can identify with Bartimaeus, can we not? Shoved to the side of the road, as we sometimes feel as Christians, as we sometimes feel as church, sitting over there begging for the crumbs, begging for folks to please, in the midst of all their busyness, make time for the church. Sitting there having lost vitality, having lost vision, some would say. Do we have the wisdom, the courage of Bartimaeus, to recognize when Jesus is near and to call out boldly, "Jesus, have mercy on us"? We need to. If not us, then who will call to God for mercy in our time? The crowds do what the crowds do, right? They tell Bartimaeus to hush. Be quiet over there. You're disturbing people. Because they're important and they're busy and they're bustling. They have places to go and people to see. Just like our current time. People are busy and about business. Sometimes it feels like as a Christian, as a church, when we try to speak, we get told, "Hush, sit over there, be quiet. We don't want to hear from you." Feel that way sometimes? Yet Bartimaeus, he's not like me. He's not like some of you. He's not like, I fear, the institutional church. Not just Ascension, but the church in general. He's not cowed by being told to hush. He doesn't say, "Oh, you're right. That's not our business. We'll keep to our own over here and let important people do important stuff." Bartimaeus cries out all the louder. He says, "Jesus, have mercy on me." He cries out louder. You know, it's one thing to be bold enough to speak up once. It's another to be bold enough to keep speaking up when people are telling you to be quiet. Many of us have experienced in our life being told to be quiet. Sit down, be quiet. Frankly, we as Christians and the church of God in Western society has been told an awful lot to sit down and be quiet. Tend to your stuff, your spiritual stuff, and leave the important works of politics and economy and society to us. Bartimaeus kept speaking. And Jesus stopped. And he called to him. He wanted Bartimaeus to come near. And all of a sudden, some of the people went, "Oh, wait, Jesus is paying attention. He must not be totally unimportant. Let's go over here and get him. Take heart, get up. He's calling for you." But sometimes we do get recognized as maybe we have something to say. Can we get a quote for the evening news? How do you feel about that? They bring Bartimaeus over, telling him to be taking heart because he's being noticed. And Bartimaeus does something extraordinary that's easy to skip past. He throws off his cloak, leaps up, and immediately rushes to Jesus. You know, he's a beggar. The only thing in this world he has is that cloak. It's what keeps him warm at night, what he can cover his head with to keep the rain off. It's what's spread down in front of him as he begs for alms so people can toss coins to it and he can gather them in. Remember, he's blind. He can't catch them when they get thrown. That cloak represents his security, his comfort, even his livelihood. And he throws it off and gets up and goes to Jesus. Extraordinary. Think about the fellow we heard a couple weeks ago about. The rich young ruler was told to sell what he had and follow Jesus. He went away sad, right? He went away sad. The beggar who has next to nothing throws off the nothing he has with no guarantee but to go to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, what are we willing to throw off to go to Jesus? Both me and us, the church, this church, and the wider church. Are we willing to give up our security, our comfort, our finances to follow? Not even to follow, but just on the promise of going to be near to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He throws it off. And I want to point out that, you know, if this whole Jesus thing falls flat, there's no plan B for him. Because he can't go see where he left his cloak. Blind. He goes to Jesus. Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" On the face of it, that seems like kind of a silly question, right? Hello, he's blind. We're going to assume he wants to be able to see. And he does. But I think the deeper part of that is Jesus wants to know if he knows what he really needs. If we had been called, "Take heart, get up and come before Jesus. He's calling you." If we'd heard that call and gone, and if Jesus looked at us and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Would we know what to ask for? Would we ask for the good old days, 150 kids in Sunday school, standing room only at Christmas Eve, a completely balanced budget with more to spare, being important both in the community and having important people come? Is that what we think we need? What we're going to ask Jesus for? Or would we really ask for what we asked in the collect this morning? For an increase of faith, love, mercy? Would we ask for what we need or what we think we want? Would we ask to be healed of what holds us back? To be given a new vision of who God calls us to be? To be able to see, really see the needs of this world and have the strength and courage to seek to answer them? Remember, we are the church. We are the means by which God has chosen to mediate the saving grace of Jesus Christ to the world. We know that's who we are and that that's what we need. Bartimaeus says, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus doesn't need mud this time. He doesn't need anything fancy. He looks at Bartimaeus and says, "Your faith has made you well." That's it. We have already the treasure that we need to be who we are called to be. We have the faith entrusted once and for all to the saints. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit living among us. We have the high call of God in Christ. We have all we need to be made whole. We just have to ask to have our eyes open to see it.
Eyes are open. And what does he do?
Follows Jesus.